grateful to see each one here this evening. We certainly desire your prayers. We've been studying on sin, going to continue that. We're in verse 31 of Romans chapter 1, going through some of the sins here. And I know in many of the scriptures that we'll turn and look at different sins that we're probably not going to touch on everything, but we're about to touch on everything. We're going to get close to it. But I hope it provokes thought and helps us to see. And the whole purpose of seeing sin, well, it's really twofold. One is we see ourselves as sinners. We see that we're not righteous, and it's only by that that we see our need of Christ. And then after salvation, we need to understand what sin is so that we're not deceived. We're not carried away by false doctrine. And we certainly know that sin brings death. Even God's people, when we live in sin, it's destructive. It's destructive to our testimony. It's destructive to how we share God in this world. And the light of Christ, it darkens it. And so we need to be very careful in understanding sin and the importance of seeing what it is. And we're going to be in verse 31. Verse 31 of Romans chapter 1. Before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the message. Father, you know the need better than we do. Help us to speak your words, that it could help us as your people to draw close to you. For we ask all this in the name of Jesus, for he is worthy. Amen. In verse 31 of Romans chapter 1, in the first part, it says, without understanding. Without understanding. And you might say, well, how is without understanding a sin? Well, it's meaning that you're willfully don't want to understand. You're willfully not wanting to gain knowledge. I'll say this, you go back into the early part of this chapter about kind of the middle ways, and you find that God talks about the world and even how the earth bears witness of God. You know, you have to go to a pretty extreme place to say there is no God. The fool has said in his heart that there is no God. And to see all creation and all of what we have and even the laws of the universe and everything you look at, you have to get to a very dark place to say, oh, there's no God. I mean, most of the world hasn't fallen for that. I think it was Charles Spurgeon that may have made the statement. He said even Satan didn't fall for that folly. He said he knew that there was a God, and he knew the truth. And he said, you know, something that even Satan wouldn't fall for. There's people in this world that would fall for that nonsense. And so you're willfully being ignorant of what God has said. That's what he's talking about here. And so you turn over. I'm going to turn over and read in a couple of places. I'm going to begin in 2 Peter chapter 3. And in verse 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 3, says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Notice that statement. He says, this they are willingly ignorant of. And that doesn't mean they're just ignorant. It's a different level, isn't it? Willingly ignorant of. They don't want to know the truth. They don't desire to want to hear it. So they're willfully ignorant of it. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And he says there's some things that the people of the world are willfully ignorant of. They're without understanding. And then there's another side. You know, every human being has been given something. They've been given a conscience. Even the Bible talks about the conscience. We have a conscience. And that conscience helps us to know what's right and what's wrong, what's good and what's evil. You know, it's amazing that if you study civilizations up until recent times, and it's amazing how we think that we've gotten more educated, but we have fallen away from things that near about the whole world knew and understood. You know, all across the world, even though they didn't have the Word of God to teach them this, they had the conscience of God. They had the knowledge of God within themselves that there was some things that they knew. It's up until recent time that we didn't recognize that there's a difference between men and women. There are things that women are better at than men, and there are things that men are better at than women as a whole. It doesn't mean you won't find exceptions here or there, but as a whole, men are stronger than women, aren't they? They are. Men do a little bit more daring things than women. You know, I'll say this, when you raise teenage boys most of the time, the boys seem to do things different than the girls would. You get those phone calls sometimes and, well, your son jumped off the top of a house and jumped on a trampoline to see how high he could get. That's usually a boy problem, isn't it? That's a testosterone problem is what it is. But men that go into war need that because you have to do things on the battlefield that's different. And they need to learn some of their limits. They need to push themselves and learn what they can do because throughout most of history, men have had to go into battles and fight wars. And I'll say this, you don't naturally run into gunfire. That's not something natural to do. It's not even natural for men to do, but there's some characteristics that God gave men that He didn't give as much to women because He knew they would have to face different things. Women are better nurturers and things of that nature. They're usually better at cleanliness than men are, for the most part. Again, it's not always the case that you find, but that's the predominant case that you find. And so you go through, and it was known throughout the world that men go off to war. For the most part, the men go off to war, the women stay with the children. And that was known up until recent times. And we're trying to fight against things that are even seared within our conscience. Seared in that which is natural. You think over in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 11, you know, Paul asked the question, he said, is it not common? Is it not nature? Doth not nature teach you that it's not comely for a man to have his head covered when he prays? But then he turned over and said, but we all know that it's godly that women should have long hair. And he gets into those things, and isn't it natural that even in the world today, a lot of people naturally think that women should have longer hair than men? That's kind of a natural thing that people naturally think. And look, that's been across the world. Way that they dress different than one another. There's some differences there. And so to go against our common sense, which sadly is not as common as it used to be, to go against the conscience that God has given us. You know, all across the world, we knew that murder was wrong, didn't we? Stealing is wrong. There's just certain principles that are geared into us that realistically shouldn't have to be taught to us that much, should it? And they're known across the world that they're wrong because of the conscience that God gave us. But to go against what we call common sense or that being of conscience, you have to sear that conscience with a hot iron, don't you? And what does that mean? You're without understanding. And I'll say part of what God's Word does is it gives us understanding. It gives us knowledge. It gives us wisdom. That's why in the book of Proverbs it says, get understanding. We need to get it. There are things that we need to get and we need to understand. Turn with me back to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 5. We'll look here in one other place. Jeremiah chapter 5. And I'm not going to go through this whole chapter. I'm going to try to keep it focused on the burden that God has given us tonight. But in verse 21, Jeremiah 5, verse 21. He says, "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding." Notice what goes along with out understanding, foolishness. "The foolish people who are without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord." Notice what goes along with this foolishness. It's a lack of a fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, isn't it? It's the beginning of wisdom. And he says these people are without understanding because they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they hear not. And he asks the question, "Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the stand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone." You know, they didn't understand, just like the ocean, they're supposed to have some boundaries. It's a sad thing when human beings don't understand that we need boundaries. There's a lot of people acting foolish today because they don't know where the boundaries are. That's a sad thing. And boundaries shouldn't be that hard. I shouldn't even have to preach a lot from Scripture. "Thou shalt not commit adultery." Do y'all think that has to be in the Ten Commandments for us to understand that that's wrong? Oh, the Bible gives it to us because it is needful. And it is something we need to know and understand. But look, there's people that didn't have the Word of God that understood that was wrong. There's people that understood that murder was wrong. There's people that understand, without even having the Word of God, that look, taking drugs that will affect your mind and body is not good for you. There's some things that we should know. To not know these things means we're without understanding. And what that means is we have eyes but we don't see. We have ears but we don't hear. If I loved others as I love myself, just think about it from this perspective. We have it in the Bible, "Thou shalt not steal." Have you ever been stolen from? I have. I've had things stolen from me before. It's a miserable feeling. It's a miserable feeling. You feel violated. You feel taken advantage of. It's a horrible feeling. Why would I ever do that to anybody else? If I have eyes, if I have a heart, if I have ears, and even if I'd never been stolen from, if I've seen other people with my own eyes and I've seen them stolen from, and I've seen how it's affect them, why would I ever want to do that? If I've had ears and had to listen to somebody talk about this was passed down from generation to generation and now it's lost, why would I ever want that to be done to somebody else? But there's people that don't see that, do they? They don't listen. They don't hear. There's people who have been heartbroken. There's people been cheated on, but yet they go and cheat. You know, one of the saddest things that I've seen in my lifetime is I've seen people come from broken homes and difficult situations in life, even some that have been abused, and yet they go out and become the people that they used to say that they hated. You ever seen a person that said, "I hate my dad, I hate what he did to my family, I hate the way he lived, or I hate my mother, I hate the way she broke the family up or did this thing, that some horrible thing, or I'm never going to treat my children the way that they treated me," and all this other stuff, and then they have children and they act the exact same way? Y'all ever seen that? That's a person without understanding, isn't it? You could have changed. You could have been different, but you chose to be the exact same thing. Didn't have to be. But they lacked something, didn't they? They lacked understanding. You know, there's some people say, I've got to go out and make my own mistakes. Listen to me. We're all going to make our own mistakes in life. But if you're smart, you try to learn from other people's mistakes. Did y'all ever know anybody while you went to school that had a wreck while drinking and driving? Or acted foolish when they did alcohol or drugs? You know, just having eyes to see that, it makes you go, you know what? I don't want to do that. I don't want to go down that line. I don't want to do those things. That's understanding, isn't it? You gain understanding. That's a bad thing to do. I don't want to do that. You know, some people watch somebody go out and get too much house for themselves and they lose the house. Or they buy a very expensive car and they struggle to make the payments on it. And they can see the effects of debt. But yet they don't learn from it, do they? They go out and make the same mistake. God's given us eyes. He's given us ears. He's saying there's some things you should be able to pay attention to and learn from. I'll say this also. We get to learn from the Word of God, don't we? With our ears, we hear the Word of God. With our eyes, we read the words, and we can gain understanding from it. You know, some people like to go around and make excuses of why they do wrong. And God's going to say to them, did you not have my Word? Could you not read? Could you not hear? You know, God sent His prophets unto the people of Israel several times, didn't He? Even over, I believe it's in Zechariah chapter 7, you know, He gets across the point. You know, you had all these prophets from years gone by that you could have read and learned from, but instead you're making the same mistakes as what He basically told Israel. In other words, you had ears, but you didn't listen. You had eyes, but you didn't see. You were willingly ignorant of what was right before you. Keep that in mind. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to begin in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 15. It says, Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. And look, God's not teaching against washing hands before we eat. That's not what He's doing. But whether somebody washes their hands or not is not the biggest thing in the world. Now, I like people to wash their hands. I'll be honest, I like to wash my hands, at least get some sanitizer on them before I eat a meal, especially if I'm going to eat something with my hands. But is that the big deal in the life? It's not. He said, oh, they transgress the tradition of the elders, washing not their hands when they eat bread. But He answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. And he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. They didn't see that everything they had in life was because of the sacrifice of their mom and dad. They said, oh, having me as a son is a gift to you. And anything I make and anything I work for, if I do anything for you, it's just a gift. They had things very backwards in that. And that's what Jesus reproved them for here. He said, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Notice the problem there. Their heart is far from me. In other words, they're without understanding because they don't understand serving God comes from the heart. He said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And notice that they had taken religion, they had even taken the pure religion of the Word of God, and they were teaching their beliefs instead of what the Word of God taught. He said, "You've taken for doctrines the commandments of men." And he called the multitude and said unto them, "Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that this defileth a man." Then came his disciples and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Wow, that sounds like something in our day and time, doesn't it? "Don't you know you offended some people with what you preached or taught?" And guess what? Sometimes the truth does offend. And it's not that he did it for the purpose of offense. He did it because they were wrong. What they were teaching, what they were putting forth was wrong. But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." And this has got to be an astonishing thing for the 12 to hear. Because no doubt in their mind, they looked up to some of these men, these Pharisees and scribes, and thought them to be very holy and devout men, and Jesus is sitting there saying, "Leave them alone, they're blind leaders of the blind." Then answered Peter and said unto him, "Declare unto us this parable." Now this becomes an astounding thing to Jesus because he asked for this declaration. Jesus didn't think what he had just said was hard to be understood. And in all honesty, it shouldn't have been. But many times, even we as God's people look at things the wrong way. And sometimes we don't hear what God is actually saying to us. We miss the point. I've noticed over the years in preaching messages and going and hearing others preach, sometimes what the message is not what people hear. I'll never forget, I preached a message one time and by about 2 days later, I heard that I had preached the exact opposite of what I preached. And I'm going, now how in the world did that get twisted? Because I went back over it in my head a lot of times and I said nothing that would lead it to be the opposite of what I preached. I said nothing that would lead, you know, just going back over it in my mind, there's nothing that could be twisted to get it where people are saying it is. But yet sometimes people hear what they want to. I went to an association meeting one time with somebody. We rode in the vehicle together and we rode there and back. And Brother James Broom preached a message that day. And you know what I heard and what my passenger heard? Was two totally different things, almost the exact opposite. And I'm sitting there going, how in the world did they take that message and twist it like this? Because it was simplistic. It wasn't hard. It wasn't difficult to understand. Sometimes we, in our mind, we hear what we want to hear. And if you're married, you've probably thought that about your spouse before. That they only hear what they want to hear. Well, guess what? That's human nature. And when I say it's human nature, it means it's a sinful condition. There's sometimes we're hearing the wrong things. And even here, Jesus noticed that they weren't listening. They weren't paying attention. And Jesus said, "Are ye also without understanding?" Notice what he's getting across here. He's saying, "Peter, you didn't understand what I just said." Now he goes on to explain it to them. But he's kind of amazed that they did not understand. You think about in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus comes unto Christ and he tries to explain him about ye must be born again. And he explains to him some natural things of the world and Nicodemus just doesn't seem to get it. And we know that Jesus wasn't being overcomplicated there. He wasn't saying something too hard or too difficult to understand. Nicodemus was looking at it from a humanistic, natural perspective instead of a spiritual perspective. And Jesus came to the place and he said, "Art thou a ruler of Israel and knowest not these things?" You know, because God's thinking, I gave you my word to explain these things to you. I've given you my law. And you don't understand this? And yet you're supposed to be a leader, somebody up high, even of religious authority in this nation. And he said, you don't understand this? You know, it also gets to the fact of what was told to the Hebrews, doesn't it? He said, the time y'all ought to be teachers. He said, one has to come to you and teach you what be the first principles. And what the apostle was doing there and getting that across is, y'all should have already known this. This has been taught to you. This has been put forth. You think about the church at Galatians. The church at Galatia, you look in there and he said, who hath bewitched you? He said, look, Christ has been evidently set forth the truth. And he was talking, look, they were confused on salvation, that church was. And he's saying, wait a minute, Christ has been evidently put forth before you, crucified among you. And he's saying, the truth's been preached here. And yet you're not following it. And so Jesus is coming here and he says, are ye also yet without understanding? There's sometimes we understand the world being ignorant of some truth. But the people of God shouldn't be ignorant of the truth of God's word. We should know it. There are some people who do willfully turn away from the truth. But we shouldn't. We shouldn't. As he went on down in this chapter, he said, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought. And I mean, that's getting about as plain as you can get with it. What goes into your belly ends up in the toilet. That's really what he's saying there. I mean, Jesus being plain about it. He says, look, it's not what goes in. He said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And they defile the man. What we eat and we, I mean, teach against gluttony, teach against other things, but there's so many people so focused about what they put into their bodies with food. I can't tell you how many people have tried to talk to me about different things of food before. Well, you need to be gluten-free. You need to be all natural. You don't need to eat anything processed. You don't need anything with preservatives. And look, I don't preach on any of that. And the reason I don't is because there's scripture that lets us know that God doesn't care. Because he's more concerned about the spiritual things than the things going into our body as far as food is concerned. Now, moderation is taught. And I believe in moderation. Look, I have no problem with people doing different diets. But there are people that are so focused on what goes into their bodies, but they're not focused about the sin that they let in. And they're not focused about the anger, the bitterness, the gossip, the backbiting, and all the other stuff that comes out. It's what's within the heart that God is most focused about, and that's the message he's trying to get forth here. And he's saying, Peter, you don't understand that what I'm trying to focus on here is the heart of the individual. Jesus wasn't for or against washing hands. That wasn't his focus. His focus is your heart right with God? And he was saddened that Peter and the others didn't understand that. He said, do you not yet understand that whatsoever goeth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Might make you sick for a while if you got some disease or something, but he's looking at what defiles the spirit of a man, what defiles the soul. And isn't it sad that many people don't understand that today? There's a lot of people without understanding. I still come across a lot of people, and I'm sure you do too, that think if I live a good enough life, God will accept me. They're without understanding, aren't they? That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And therefore we all need salvation in Christ. There's some people who say, well, you know, hell is just for bad people. What we don't understand there is we're all bad. We all deserve it. But God died. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, to die in our place that we wouldn't have to deal with that. Now that consequence wouldn't be over us, but it would be laid upon Christ instead of us. There's a lot of people without understanding. There's some people who think, well, my little sin, my little wrong doesn't mean a whole lot. But the Bible teaches a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And they don't understand the damage of sin. They're without understanding. Can we see this? There's a lot of people without understanding today. That their sin does matter. That their sin does affect others. That it is damaging. And there's a lot of people that don't understand that everything that God teaches us is for our benefit and our good. We need to have understanding. And to be without understanding is damaging. Deathly. You know, I've come across a lot more in our day and time. All we know about God, they don't take their children to church, they don't live godly before them. They live out in the world and they're without understanding. That next generation will know very little of God, and the one that follows will know near about nothing. They're without understanding, aren't they? They don't know the damage that they're doing. God does not want us to be without understanding. You know, one of my favorite lines in all the scriptures is this. It's when God says, or usually it's the Apostle Paul or somebody like that, he says, God would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There's knowledge, there's understanding that God wants us to have. Even of things that are yet to come. God wants us to know there's a judgment coming. God wants us to know that there's a judgment seat of Christ. There's a great white throne judgment. He wants us to know about the Antichrist. He wants us to know about power that's coming, deceit that's coming, lies that are coming into the world. He wants to know all that. I'm glad that we serve a God that wants us to have understanding. Wants us to have knowledge. And we need it. We need it. There's a lot of things that God tries to teach us, but if we have our eyes closed, I think about the songwriter. I can't think of her name right offhand. Wrote the song Blessed Assurance, probably about half the songs in that red book. And I'll forget her name, but she was blind. And she was asked one time, oh, it's got to be so bad to be blind and you can't see the beauty of God's creation. You can't see all these other things. She said, oh, there's worse things than being blind. Oh, what's that? Somebody that has sight but cannot see. That's worse, isn't it? And what she was really saying is they will not see. That's worse. Because there's nobody so blind as those that do not want to see. Those are the blindest people on earth, aren't they? They're willfully ignorant, without understanding. Let that not be us. And let us not promote that in any way in the world. Let us have sight and vision, and let us have understanding that we know what God's will is. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, I invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.